And some of you are like, well, gosh, but I'm still scared because that pleasure and that demonic pleasure. Well, then get free tonight. Ask every unclean devil to get, no, don't ask them. Tell every unclean devil that the Holy Spirit lives in this temple and you are no longer welcome. You no longer need to feed on that filth. You no longer need to believe that stuff. You are history. And when that devil comes along to try to seduce you or tempt you, let me tell you what, turn the TV off. Don't watch those reality shows where people run around just because they blur the body parts or whatever they're doing. Don't you realize what that's telling you? That ought to be a pretty good indicator you shouldn't be watching it. If they got to be blurring and beeping, you shouldn't be watching it because you got an imagination with the devil right there with the reprobate going, can't you see what that is? Can't you know what that is? Folks, grow up as Christians. Be holy for he is holy. I'm not talking about rules. I am talking about a people who want to live a holy life so they can know God, so they can touch the things of heaven, so they can be used by God, so the power of God can live in them, so they can get high in the Holy Ghost and get drunk in the Holy Ghost and have a most awesome party life in the Holy Spirit and an intimacy with God that makes everything the devil offers nothing. See, Satan is trying to steal from you what God has for you. It's not about you trying to live by the rules. It's about you missing out on the awesome things that God has that will change your life and cause people to be drawn to God. I have given up nothing that God hasn't replaced it with something so awesome. But God will not replace it with the thing that's so awesome while you're still playing around with the devil. You will stay under condemnation. You will stay convicted. You will stay in a place where you cannot live a godly, powerful life. Don't be afraid that you won't get free. You will get free because he's the one who sets you free. He wants you free more than you want to be free. But you need to believe that. You need to agree with him. You need to draw a line in the sand and say, devil, I am not that past. I am not. And when he pops something in your head from your past, especially sexually, you just cast it down. I want you to begin to see Jesus taking you in his arms like he did that woman who they threw there and saying to you, your sins have been forgiven. Go and sin no more. And you looking at him, you know, she was the one who came. Mary was the one who came and really knew how to worship him. That's what God wants to see. You know what? The devil gave you sexual sin that's embarrassing, horrible, makes you feel wicked, unrighteous. Then you determine that you're going to be just like that example that God put in his word, where that woman knew she was forgiven. She came out of shame. She came out of condemnation, and she became the one who knew how to worship him in intimacy beyond anyone else in the Bible, except maybe John the Beloved. John the Beloved had an awesome closeness with God. But besides John the Beloved, you really see that in Mary, the one who was a prostitute, when she comes in and she doesn't care. You know what I love about Mary? After she got free from that sexual sin, after she got free from that condemnation and that reprobate mind, and she got free from being what the devil said she was the one who didn't care what the religious leaders thought. She didn't care what the people thought. She didn't care who was in the room. She was able to sit there and recognize this awesome Jesus who loved her and forgave her. And she worshiped him, and she kissed him on his feet. Her tears fell on his feet, her hair. She wiped his feet. Very intimate, folks, because she knew he's the one who really paid for me to fall in love with him. And he put that in there on purpose to show you the one that should have been stoned by the law, the one that should have never had another opportunity, was the one who found him in the deepest way, intimately. Wow, what a Jesus. What a God. It wasn't the goody two-shoe Martha who just cooked and cleaned and served, and that's all great. But she wasn't the one who came in and poured that oil on his feet. It was the laughingstock of the town. It was the one publicly shamed. It was the one everybody whispered about and talked about. It was the one that everybody knew all of her sexual sin. Isn't that awesome? And so tonight, when we do this altar call, if that's what's holding you, because it's holding some of you, and you tell it to go, you tell it you don't, you are going to be that worshiper. You're going to take what was filthy in your area of intimacy in your life, and you're going to see it transformed into something so awesome that you'll be able to worship God in a crowded room of people staring at you and thinking something's wrong with you because you don't care. to him who's been forgiven much, they loveth much. The truth is we've all been forgiven much, but only those who feel so dirty and wicked recognize it. And in that way, it's almost a gift if you went through a bunch of junk. Because you're not holding your good bag of stuff saying, like that one he says in the synagogue going, "Oh God, thank you, I'm not like them. Oh God, I tithe, I pray, I do everything right. Oh God, aren't I good? Not like them. Ooh, not like them." I feel sorrier for the ones who feel like that as we're entering these last days. I am so thankful that God showed me my wicked heart so that I could quit judging you and comparing myself to you, and I could really love you and see you through the power of the cross. There's no one who can shock me. There's no one that you can't love when you realize that Satan is the one who authors the evil and you weren't created that way. Don't even look. That's a powerful one. I want you to hang on to that one. Some of you really need deliverance in that area tonight. Iniquity is sin, wickedness, moral corrupt. But he, the Lord, will say, "I will tell you, I do not know you. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity." That basically means people who keep sinning. These are people who get in heaven and say, "God, didn't I know you? God, God." And he goes, "You know what? You would not quit sinning. Get away from me." They go to hell. So this is talking about the person who's the hypocrite. When we were talking earlier, which is which? There are people who think they're okay while they keep sinning. And they're not fooling God. They really, I think, are deceiving themselves. And so you need to check your life. I mean, you need to check your life on a daily basis to see if you are blatantly sinning. And if you are, you need to realize you have an issue. And you need to come get help. You need to get some of the tapes. You need to come get deliverance, get in some of the small groups. Whatever you have to do, do it so that you can get set free. You need people who love you enough and know enough about, have enough God in them to tell you the truth about yourself. Covetousness. Now remember, all these are reprobate. Covetousness is reprobate. There's probably not a person born in America who hasn't wanted what somebody else has. That's what covetousness is. It's not just about wanting somebody's wife. It's about wanting anybody. It's wanting their bicycle when you're 10. It's about wanting their position when you're grown. It's about wanting this or wanting that. Covetousness is wanting what somebody else has. Covet, to desire that which is another's. The Bible says you shall not covet. It's one of the 10 commandments. Ha! This is big. We're breaking the 10 commandment. We need to get, what is the big sin of covetousness? You're not, because your eyes are on stuff. Your eyes are on other people. You're into comparing. You're not enjoying the life God's given you. You're not just enjoying life. You're not appreciating what he's given you. Nobody deserves to even be able to breathe. And yet we're sitting around comparing. And you know, the bad thing about it is we think that there's more favor on someone who has these things. Or we think that those riches are more awesome than God. See, God knows how much you can handle and can't handle. Some of you, if you had all the money that you think you want, you would be doing drugs so bad, they'd never get you free. Or you would be totally missing the plan for your life. If you're supposed to be a teacher and you had all the money you think you want, it might be too easy to walk away from teaching. It might be too easy to retire and not do the ministry God has for you. Do you see what I'm saying? God knows all this stuff. We need to get our minds away from the way of the world and realize that we want God in charge. Hebrews 13:5, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with the things that you have. Let me tell you this. You may think you're not coveting somebody else's stuff, but if you're not content with what you have a spirit that covets, and that is reprobate. If you're not content with what you have, if you live in a mobile home, then be content in your mobile home. Be happy in your mobile home. Thank God for your mobile home. And if God wants to give you more, he can. If he doesn't, it doesn't matter. Amen. See, you know, anybody who knows me knows this is true. when God first gave me the ministry and we met in houses, I was excited to be meeting in houses. I was thankful for houses to meet in. Then when he gave us our little office, which seemed big to us at the time, I was so happy. I'd look around. I love our office. And then when he brought us into this building Sandy Bottom for the first time, wow, thank you, God. This is awesome that we can meet in Sandy Bottom. Then when he brought us here, we were like, overwhelmed. Wow, God, this is really awesome. And then he gives us a 10,000 square foot building we're not even thinking about. I mean, getting. And we're all sitting there going, it's a lot of work, but we know God, visionary here. But the bottom line, but our office is wonderful. We sat, how many times a day in the office, if Donna was there, and I think Angel, I was sitting there, and Karen, I was sitting there going, I love this office. This office is perfect for us. Who could have given me a big desk that covers my junk, and I'm still sitting in the middle of the room talking to everybody, and nobody can see it. Our office is perfect. Yep, I couldn't have designed it so perfect. See, I've learned, I like the house I'm in. If John moves, my husband, I'll move with him. If he moves, we go together, you know, and he'll find a house. And then I'll love that house. I don't care. I like my van. People always give me a hard time about my van. I like my van. I don't want an SUV. I don't care. Whatever I have, I like. I really am very content. And God just keeps blessing me. If you're not content, you need to deal with, you have a spirit of covetousness, which is going to destroy you. It'll keep you being greedy. It'll keep you being envious. It'll keep you always trying and never having peace. If you can't have peace till you've reached a certain level or a certain dollar mark or a certain house or a certain job or a certain this or that, you have a spirit of covetousness, and it's reprobate. It goes against the truth about God. Because what it basically says is he loves you more than me, or he gave you more than me. And God's not even into any of that. He gives each of us different things to glorify him. And I can't get into all that, but we've got a lot of teaching on it. This is powerful. Listen to this. Thieves nor covet people will inherit the kingdom of God. If you want to know why you're miserable, always wanting stuff and trying to get stuff, because you're on your way to hell. Unless you get rid of it. I hope you get as miserable as you can get so that you get free. I feel bad for people who aren't miserable and they're on the way to hell. I mean, what is it going to take to wake them up? Going insane or something. Malice. Okay, this is reprobate also. A desire to harm others. Ill will. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, evil speaking, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow. Malice comes from all these things mixed together. But malice is when you kind of want something bad to happen to somebody. Oh, you'll say, oh, that's too bad. You mean they died? But then your brain's thinking, well, you know, they probably deserved it. Malice is somebody gets fired. But deep down, you're glad because you might get their job. Everybody's smiling that. Everybody's got that nervous smile thing going now. I guess maybe we need that reprobate t-shirt ourselves. Wouldn't that be cool? We'll go to one of those homosexual rallies, but we'll all wear t-shirts saying, we were reprobate too, but it ain't too late for you or something. Being full of envy. Envy, discontent, resentment concerning another's possessions. Look how much of this stuff has to do with greed. Envy is being discontent with what you have, resenting another person's positions, what they have. Well, I should have gotten that, or I should have had that job, or I should have had this. Folks, let's get real. God hates this stuff because it's all about works and money. Works and money. Works and money. Just like Satan took all the things that God had given him, separated from God, and thought, I can make it with just the stuff I got. You were created to be one with God. You weren't created just to live your own little selfish, pleasurable life full of stuff. And it's so empty. If you get something real with God that's empty, it's not a sacrifice to give all that up for God. It's life. Murder. To kill. That's hard. To slay. You shall not murder. I'm not getting to it. If the Bible says, if you even thought it, you did it. If you ever want, we talked about this, you want to be an only child. If you ever wish somebody would just die or whatever, it's all murder. You shouldn't be able to watch murder. You shouldn't be able to sit and watch murder and stuff on TV and it not affect you. Murder is really gross. It's somebody taking out the life of somebody else. There's nothing entertaining about murder, is there? This sister's son was murdered, what, last June? doom. And God's going to turn it around and totally use her in a mighty way to pray against these spirits in the city and to believe God. There's nothing. Why do you watch stuff that's not entertaining? How? Let me ask this. Only a reprobate mind can be entertained by stuff that's reprobate. Quiet in here now. Those murder things, they make you either want to say, yeah, go get him, or go do this or that. Quarrels. Oh my gosh. Quarrels. That's reprobate. Quarrel. Angry dispute. To find fault. To complain. Okay, so if you didn't think you need a reprobate t-shirt till now, now you know you do. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach and patient. God wants to get this anger stuff out of us. He wants us to deal with that kid who's locked down in there, who's steaming mad because life isn't fair and God didn't treat him right. And why am I in the wheelchair? Everybody else is in the wheelchair. This isn't fair. You already got free from it. This is what you used to have. It's fair. Jesus made it fair at the cross. He wants you to enjoy your life. He wants you to be a light. He wants you to get out. He wants these little kids locked up in you, walking around all feeling hateful and mean and nasty and hating themselves and hating everybody. Self-hate is horrible. Self-hate is saying, God, you were wrong to create me. And God's like, wait a minute, I made you in my image. What a privilege. I should have made you a snail. He'd never say that. That's what I'd say. I mean, I'd probably, if I had the power, boom, you're a snail. How about that? Think you hated yourself before, you ought to see yourself now. Aren't you glad he didn't just zap us all into snails? Thank God. I'm just glad he didn't zap me, but if he didn't zap me, I don't want to be a snail.